Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
KISW, the Rock of Seattle. I have got a lovely video you got to watch. Okay,
all right.
This is spreading virally, and it puts two of your favorite things together, Steve: toddlers and wine. Who does it? I mean, there's a combo.
It's a couple of my favorite things right there, BJ.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's a toddler, and this toddler is begging her mom for wine.
I want wine.
You can't have wine. You're too young anyways.
I want wine.
Why do you want wine?
I want wine.
I love that, you know, that's the toddler logic. It's like the request and the answer to why are the same.
Oh, that's a mistake. That's not a toddler. That's actually your daughter this weekend.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, they sound kind of the same.
Yeah, they do.
I want wine.
Hello.
Love that kid.
Franzia, yeah. Of course.
Of course. I mean, the kid, you know, give the kid some box wine. Yep. See, come on, she can't.
Black box if she's feeling fancy.
Well, yeah. I love this kid. This kid's awesome.
I want wine.
You can't have wine.
Wine.
You're too young anyways.
I want wine.
Why do you want wine?
You know why she wants wine? It's because mom's listening to Coldplay, not even the good Coldplay.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the crappier, newer stuff by the band.
Yeah, kid needs some wine for that. Yeah.
Can't handle this music, mom.
Yeah. Mom, seriously, you got to change the jam.
Coldplay?
Come on, give me some wine. If I got to listen to this, then I need some wine. I want wine. Why do you want wine? I want wine.
That truly is your daughter on a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
There's no good reason for the wine. No. She just needs the wine.
Oh, yeah. I miss the days where, you know, I forgot that kid logic is great. You just get to give the same statement, same answer, same question. I forgot about that being a kid. Why do you want that? I want that. Yeah, but why? I want that. It's like, okay, I'm not going to get anything but that particular line from you.
Well, who are we to blame? Because sometimes kids will be like, don't do that. Well, why? Because I said so. So we're really teaching them that there's not a good reason for anything.
Oh, that's a very good point. So the kids have learned. They've like, all right, well, we can use the same logic on you, sir.
Right. Mom and dad are giving me stupid reasons why I can't pick my nose and eat it. So
I want wine. That's great.
Gross.
Yeah,
it was the first thing I thought of, man.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Are we sure that's the first thing you thought of because it came to your head, or if it was a pattern of a young Stephen?
I want wine and boogers.
Yeah. I want wine and boogers.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. A recent survey was done with chefs, and they were asked what foods people should never order at a restaurant. And we've got the top four.
Vegetables.
Yep, you're right. They don't ever do
all
it.
The vegetables.
Yeah, just give me the meat.
Fish.
You're kind of right, Vicky. There is
fish?
One. Yeah.
You anti-fish?
Well, I like sushi, but I feel like if you go to a restaurant, like I just watched this thing on Adam Ruins Everything where half the time it's not even what you really ordered.
Oh. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like the fish isn't what they say it is?
Yep.
And you don't know? The people don't have a clue? That's...
Yep.
More often than not, a lot of times it's like they put so much stuff on the fish that you're just like, it's some kind of a white fish. I don't know. I'll believe you, whatever you tell me it is.
Wow. I didn't realize that. I don't know what the hell I'm eating. They tell me it's salmon. I assume it's salmon or it's ahi-mahi or whatever the hell they call it.
I think salmon, you can tell it's salmon.
I would hope.
I think some of that white fish, like the cods and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Well, they're saying Two things on this list. There's only four things they say don't ever get, and two of them are fish related.
Uh-oh.
Mussels. They say, hey, one bad mussel can make you really, really sick.
Mussels are awesome. Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain once said that it's so risky he'd only order them if he knew the chef personally. How about that?
Wow, really?
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm not a big muscle guy, so that's a good example.
More ways than one.
Ouch. I've had muscles all the time. I've never gotten sick from it.
Well, good luck to you, sir. Good
apparently
for you.
My stomach is stronger than Bourdain's.
Yeah, I'm not going to try it. Also, they're saying, don't order the seafood special because it's usually made with seafood that's about to go bad.
I've heard that many times before, but sometimes I don't care. If it's delicious, it's delicious.
Yeah, but it's still there. I mean, if it's about to go bad, but it hasn't gone bad, and they just want to clean out the fridge, I don't care. But again, just be careful.
You always hear that, too, whenever someone says, this is our special, or these are the things I recommend from a waiter or a waitress. More often than not, that's because the chef told them, hey, we need to get rid of this because for whatever reason, it's about to go bad or whatever. So try and push this on the customer. So even if it's not fish, if it's something else, I always have to kind of like look at the suggestion with a grain of salt.
But it always looks so good, this special. It feels like it's really special. And you're right. It's probably just them getting rid of stuff, but they make it look so special. And I feel special when I get it. So, I mean, everybody wins, don't they? Here's one that I don't do much, but they're saying, yeah, when you order a well-done steak, they actually use the less desirable cuts of meat because it's hard to notice how bad they are when they're well-done.
Yeah, because you're burning a steak.
Yeah, buddy.
I didn't know that, though, that they would make the switcheroo if you did that because you're like, they're not going to even notice. It's just cooked up meat.
And there are some people that need to have well-done. I guess they're saying here, like, for instance, pregnant women, they should always go with well or medium well meat. They should never get it medium rare or rare.
Oh, I never want to be pregnant now. That's not.
So they also say, like, yeah, it's like sushi. I guess maybe something raw must not be good for the stomach.
Well, it's just, like, there's a bigger chance of, like, bacteria and all that stuff, and you're pregnant.
Yeah, just making take the care of the baby.
You're just trying to make that baby strong before
exactly.
It comes out.
Exactly.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Here, kid, I'm going to give you a little salmonella. See how you handle that.
Well, you guys, like, when I was a kid, even up until my 20s, I just always asked for medium well because I just assumed I don't want to risk getting sick from the meat. And it wasn't until...
That's how I was, too.
I got hooked on sushi and realized how delicious something is when it's not cooked. I was like, well, I wonder then what a medium rare or rare steak would be like. And then I finally tried it.
And?
Mind blown. Yeah. I could never go back.
Mine was the same. I would do always medium well just because I thought that I would get sick. But then it was like, I tried it because I like juicier steaks. And I was like, why did I not know this juiciness was here?
Dude, a nice medium rare to rare steak just melts in your mouth.
Yeah, but Danny, when you get pregnant, you're going to have to go medium or well, you know, medium or medium well, buddy. Well, okay.
There you go.
So if you're pregnant, you should tell them. That way they still give you the good cut of meat.
That's what they're saying.
So if I ever go to medium well, I should say, hey, look, you see this stomach. This isn't, there's a bun in the oven.
Yeah. Another thing that they're saying that you should never pay for, finally, the final thing, don't ever pay for a really expensive cheeseburger. Don't do it because they say the markup is ridiculous and it's rarely worth it. And yeah, perhaps the ingredients they're using might be expensive. Sure, that may be why the price tag is up there. But as far as the meat goes, remember, hamburger is like the cheaper part of meat. So there's no way you can fancy that up because that's what it is.
I never understood anybody that gets a rare hamburger. It just seems like you're asking to get sick. And it also doesn't taste good. I've had a couple burgers where they cooked it. It was too pink. And I tried to buy it. I was like, this just doesn't taste good.
So what do you get? So do you get your steaks medium rare and your burgers medium? Is that how you do it?
No, I get my burgers medium well.
Oh, medium well.
I want my burger cooked.
Ooh. All right, I'm going to try
that.
You
put so much crap on it anyway. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not like just enjoying it for the meat itself.
I look at it like you're a burger connoisseur, but more so than I am. So I didn't realize that I have to get my steak one way and my burger another way. So
I just want it fully
keep that in
cooked.
Mind.
I want it fully cooked. Yeah. I don't want any red or pink or anything inside that burger.
And that's funny because like when it comes to chicken for me, people like want that juicy, you know, chicken breast. I kind of want mine dried out. Like I don't care that just because if it's too juicy, I feel like it's raw.
Yeah, I want my chicken cooked. That's too much of a risk right
now. I'm like, nope. I'm like, I'd rather it be dry.
Deep fry that bitch.
Well, I want it cooked, but I don't want it dry. I can't do dry chicken.
Yeah.
It just like sticks in your mouth and you're like, but I do
too
like...
tough to eat.
Yeah, I do like my burgers medium. I do like the pink, so...
Really?
Yeah, you don't have to trust
me.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seems
nice. Okay. That's a little too much info, Danny. Thanks.
Okay, sir.
Got some research here polling 1,000 Americans who've done the long distance dating thing. I see why you put this story in front of this guy.
Well, I don't understand.
Yeah, you don't understand why.
You're not dating. I mean, you're long distance married. So you're fine.
So half of the people that did the long distance thing said that their relationship did survive it. And of course, you know, a little bit more than half, but a lot of them, 42%, they said that long distance dating didn't work. So that it's a tough one for people. I will say this. For us, because we had 25 years of marriage before she decided to go to California, I think that helped. We raised a family together. We did a lot of stuff together. I think we had a five-year courtship. Mm-hmm. So we were together a long time. If you're just starting out, or maybe you're only 10 years in or so, that I can see how that's going to be trouble.
Yeah, I don't understand how people do when they first meet each other and one lives in Portland, the other one lives in Seattle, and they're trying to make it work. I agree with you in that sense that if you've been together for 10, 15 years, you know each other well enough, I think you could put up with not seeing each other from time to time.
Oh.
It's a lot easier to kind of, you know, go on a vacation or go on a, not maybe a vacation, but like a work conference and you're gone for a few days. Yeah, it sucks. You're missing each other, but you don't have to worry about anything. You're not... You know, you kind of got to the point where, you know what, missing each other is a good thing from time to time.
But I mean, I feel like we're in a day and age where it's kind of hard to miss someone because we have video chat on our phones. Like, so as opposed to maybe 20 years ago, it's a lot easier to kind of, I think, be in a long distance relationship. My old roommate got married to his long distance relationship and they started dating while being long distance.
It'll be interesting to see how they do, because you're right. It's an amazing thing that they did end up staying together. I mean, there was years of them doing the long distance thing, different countries.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
One person says, talked to my now wife from Jamaica online for 3 years before we met, then flew down there and proposed to her.
Aww.
Yeah. That's even weirder because they didn't, if I'm reading that text correctly.
They never met until.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's just
first
something.
Time they met, he proposed.
Wow. A lot of the folks never lived close to the other person to begin with, just like this guy, 27%. Most of these people met online, lived in different cities. Never, I mean, it's just a, but you know what? They still, a lot of those make up the 42% that didn't make it.
Dude, my only long-distance relationship, and it's laughable compared to what some people are dealing with, but it was me living in Lynnwood and my then-girlfriend living in Puyallup, and we eventually got married.
How many miles is that?
Too much, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're saying...
It was a hike, but it was...
Yeah, the average was about a minimum of 132 miles, I'm looking at the survey.
That. Less than that. I would say it was about... 70 maybe?
Yeah, but with traffic...
60,
52 miles.
Okay.
But yeah. With traffic and everything, Steve, that's like 132 miles.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Now, with traffic this morning, it's an hour and 26 minutes.
Yeah. That's
and,
nuts.
And we would see each other almost every day.
Yeah, that's...
That's how I put a lot of hundreds of thousands of miles on my Jeep at first.
Yeah, dude, that's a lot of running around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, a 90-minute drive to have to go see your significant other every day, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it's, I mean, it's not living in Jamaica.
That's true. The four-month mark apparently is the hardest point in a long-distance relationship, and that's when you're most likely to break up. If you can make it to 8 months, your chances go way up. So just remember, four months, you're going to get the four-month itch.
Hmm.
And then 8 months, you're going to have a better shot of doing it. The average couple does send 343 texts a week while dating long distance and spends 8 hours talking on the phone or on things like Skype and FaceTime, which Vicky says is, it's funny, my wife and I aren't from that generation. We talked about it. We said, oh, we'll FaceTime, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what? We don't.
Dude, if we were away at like one of our work conventions and my wife was calling me via FaceTime, I would just assume she accidentally did it and not answer. Because
yeah.
This is not what we do.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, she must have just butt dialed me or something. Then she'll text me, hey, I tried FaceTiming you. I was like, oh, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. Maybe a lot of younger folks are really stoked on doing that. I imagine like Vicky's friend, they never see each other. So sure, I mean, you know, you're going months and months and months apart. My wife and I, you know, I mean, on average, we see each other every other week. So it's not, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm never going to see her again. I suppose if it was months apart, I'd probably do a little bit more FaceTiming.
Yeah, my wife will not answer any of my video calls, but that's usually just because I do it while I'm on the toilet.
Well, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, that's the romantic. Only time I'll ever video call her. So she's like, I'm never answering those.
You know, that's a woman that really does need a long distance relationship, really. You know, your wife, really, just to get away from the stench.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. If I can't afford to pay my bills, how am I going to afford attorneys and bankruptcy fees?
You know, one of the things people ask me all the time as a bankruptcy lawyer is that how am I going to pay all these fees and costs because I'm here because I can't afford to pay my bills? And I, of course, we understand that. I mean, being in the bankruptcy field, But you know, one of the things to remember is that if you decide, once you make the decision to file bankruptcy, you can stop paying on all of the creditors that are going to be included in the bankruptcy, and those are the funds that you can use that you have been paying your creditors to pay your attorney fees and court costs to get your case filed. And once your case is filed, you're not going to have most of those payments anymore.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.